Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Power Word Gold Podcast, celebrating the art of gold making in World of Warcraft. Let's get ready to auction!
Hello everybody, this is Flux from the blog Power Word Gold, and you are listening to the Power Word Gold Podcast, Episode 2. It is the 28th of March, Monday, and I've been really trying to consider what day of the week I wanted to record my podcast on. I'm going to start it out on Mondays, so that it can be put out on Tuesday, and if we have any server maintenance or whatnot, then we can have the podcast to listen to. I'll see if that works out, and if it does, then I'll keep doing it. Otherwise, I'll switch it up and put it on a different day. First off, I just wanted to say thank you to everybody that listened to episode 1 of the Power Word Gold podcast. And especially for all your honest feedback and critiques. One of the people commented said I said, too much, which is true. Is like similar to and like. It's filler content when your brain is trying to think about what to say. Other suggestions were to type up notes for the podcasts ahead of time. I like that idea. If I have guests on or a co-host, I think that that will really be beneficial. However, the podcast so far really falls into the category of a conversation between me and you guys. Conversational. And so I just wanted to leave it this way for now because I want to get practice. I've taken the time restriction off of my podcast. Last time I had a half an hour and I decided just to leave it. I personally like longer podcasts, and so I'm just going to go ahead and talk until I don't really have much else to say, and we'll see how it goes from there. Podcasts for me are something I like to listen to when I'm doing other things, and the longer the better. I'm going to be going over the posts for this last week that were on Power Word Gold and talking about those. And then I'm going to be talking a little bit about Pyrite Ore, my thoughts on that. All right. So let's kick it off with posts of the week. These are posts that were put up this week, which was March 20th to March 27th. I started out this week by putting up a post about baiting. Whenever you find yourself with some cheap ore or some cheap materials on the auction house and you're buying them out to use them in your crafting, main gist is leave one or two of the cheapest items on the auction house. A lot of times people will come along with their add-ons and just undercut, and you want to have some low-priced item still on the auction house so that the prices remain low on those items. You're also able to do this artificially by posting a few cheap items on there and hoping that people will put your materials up for that low price. There was the weekly recap. This one, I don't necessarily... I kind of showed my obsession with the Obsidian Shuffle in this one because the post was just supposed to be a recap, but it ended up being, hey, the Obsidian Shuffle is going great, awesome. That's basically all that one was saying. I talked about this on the Just My Two Copper podcast. One of the things I've happened since the Obsidian Shuffle has been slowing up is I've been finding new ways to make gold, and one of those ways I found is to pick up Horde cooking recipes and put them up on the auction house. I actually have found this to be true even with the Alliance recipes, not necessarily selling them on the Horde side, but there's a recipe vendor in Old Town. I tweeted about this yesterday. There's a recipe vendor in Old Town up in the top of the inn in Old Town that sells all of the recipes you get from various quests, like Redbridge and Westfall. Those are recipes that have been selling for 20 gold a pop. If I see that I don't have any other competition, I might end up raising the prices, but it takes a couple minutes to run right over there and pick up those recipes. So you might want to do that if you're looking for additional ways to make money. I did a video which was well received about how to use Auto Vendor to sell a bunch of gems really quickly. If you are doing the Obsidian Shuffle and would like to know more about that, be sure to head over to check out the video tutorial. I really enjoy doing video tutorials, and I'm going to be doing more of them in the future. Writing a really well thought out blog post takes, you know, quite a bit of time, although it is generally more useful, but some topics you really just have to get in there and show people on the screen exactly what to do. This video might have been a little bit of overkill, but it's always nice to have these type of videos up on YouTube so that people that are looking for, you know, how to do these type of things will be able to work on those. A lot of times when a topic comes up, it will be the topic that's talked about. And I'm not talking about blogging carnivals where the topic is picked ahead of time and everybody writes on it. I'm talking about, you know, when a hot topic comes up and everybody posts about it. This week, I decided rather than just posting about it, I was gonna put up a link roundup. And this week's was on the Maelstrom Crystal price crash. We had already talked about this in February, that the prices for the Maelstrom Crystals were going to go down because they were going to be able to be disenchanted from epic items from Heroic Zul'Garub and Heroic Zul'Aman. But this last week, 4.1 PTR patch notes are updated to say that you're going to be able to pick up Maelstrom Crystals for Justice Points and Honor Points. People did some really good posts about it. I found out about this on Twitter, and Bangkok Bill Analyst and Just My Two Copper all picked it up. Not off of my Twitter, but just picked up the fact that the patch notes were happening. Yeah, there's not much to say about the Maelstrom Crystal market. We're going to have to wait and see how it turns out. But if you have any Maelstrom Crystals, most people are recommending that you try to offload those now. If you're the kind of person that likes to stockpile and you can find people dumping them right now really cheaply, I would almost say still don't pick them up, because most people predict that the prices are only going to go down on that. One of my new favorite things I posted about this week is Project Goblin. I did a short introduction video about Project Goblin this last week. Project Goblin is a really fun project that I wanted to start. I have 10 characters. I had my 10 pack of 10 level 80s by the end of Wrath of Lich King, and I ended up transferring one of them off my server, my rogue. He was my original bank tune, and he pretty much was not being used anymore. I don't hate the rogue class. I think the rogue class is fun, but I have other main characters, and so since he had skinning and engineering, which aren't really the highest gold making professions, I was able to transfer him off to another server. This allowed an open slot for me to create a new character, a new rogue, because I still want to have 10 characters. And what I'm going to be doing with Project Goblin is essentially starting from scratch on a new faction. It's not a new server, but I'm not going to be giving myself any extra gold. I'm going to be starting from scratch and leveling up this character and seeing what the process is for making gold as I level up. So far, my goblin is level 13. He has 2 gold, 43 silver, 17 copper, and he just made it to Orgrimmar. So he is stoked. As a side to this project, I'm going to be mainly talking about gold making, but as I've been doing his leveling experience, I've been also just amazed at how much fun and how much creativity went into the goblin starting quests. As mainly an alliance player, I've played a Worgen up to like level 15. It was all right, but it was really nothing compared to how much fun the goblin quests are. I mean, you get to throw nitroglycerin bananas at monkeys. You get to attach rockets to cages and shoot them up into the sky. You get to rip out someone's heart. You get to roast zombies with rocket boots. I mean, come on. I've been having a blast doing the Goblin starter quests, and bravo to Blizzard for putting those in. More importantly, is going to be looking at gold making from a perspective of somebody who is just getting started, who doesn't have a lot of gold, who doesn't have a lot of professions, and what it looks like from that side. And that's what Project Goblin is going to be about. I am posting small updates on Twitter. If you don't already follow me on Twitter, follow me at PowerWordGold. And small updates come up there, and then there will be larger updates that will be on PowerWordGold. So I hope that you are excited to see how this project goes. I think it'll be a lot of fun. So that's Project Goblin. Go check out the video. Alright, so we had the podcast was announced this week. I just wanted to talk briefly about the podcast, not about the podcast itself, but about the experience of getting the podcast together. I didn't realize how much was actually involved in getting a podcast put together. I know there's services that make it quite a bit easier. However, I didn't want to pay or do like a free trial for a podcast service. I wanted to make it free. And so I ended up using archive.org to host the file and then host the a link to it here on Power Word Gold. The feed got put into iTunes. However, I'm going to have to keep monitoring that. I don't know how long their process takes, but it should be showing up on iTunes, hopefully here pretty soon if that gets all worked out. If not, I'll have to continue to work that. You can always find the podcast on Power Word Gold by going into the tag cloud and clicking on podcasts. So I've jumped into podcasting, as you can see by the second episode, and so far I really like it. The editing on this week's episode is going to be a little bit more extensive than it was last week. Whenever I'm getting a project started, I really like to just jump in feet first. I've done this with a lot of different things. I did this with Power Word Gold. The only really important thing I knew I needed at the time was a name. I have been blogging in the past, and so I already had my account set up, and just getting the blog started and getting the first post out there was the most important step. You can always edit and refine things later. For those of you who have been reading my blog for a long time, I think you probably agree. The design of the blog has progressed quite a bit since it was initially put up. When it was first up, all it was a blog post about Murgelsnow and a blog roll, which I ganked from just my two copper for the most part, because at the time I didn't really know any other blogs that had a blog roll, and I found myself coming back over and over again to just my two copper for their blog roll. And I decided, well, I could put together a blog roll and be able to read the latest gold making news that way. The same thing happened with videos. Put something together, jump in. My first videos, the information was good, but the production values were a little bit bad because I didn't have a full version of Fraps, but I still put them out there because, you know, you got to put out stuff. You got to just get it out there and keep moving, keep progressing. Hopefully you're actually getting better as time goes on, not getting worse. One of the things I've noticed in a lot of genres, whether it be music or movies or blogs, is that a lot of times, I don't know, the biggest example of what I'm going to talk about is rap music. Rap music, a lot of times when rappers start rapping, they might be rapping about the experiences of living on the street. And then at some point, the rap stops being about the original topic at hand, and it starts to be about the actual music itself. I was watching this movie called Beef on Netflix Instant Streaming, and it's about rivalries between rappers. And although the stories are interesting, when rap starts to sing about rap, it's almost like it kind of folds in on itself, and the original topic that that rapper was talking about is pretty much lost, because now all they're talking about is rapping. Tying this back into blogging and gold blogging in general, when I start blogging about gold blogging, I kind of feel like I'm rapping in on myself again. I'm not talking about making gold, I'm talking about blogging about making gold. And one of the things I've noticed since I've started the blog is that it takes quite a bit of time and effort to make a quality blog about any topic. And the time and energy that I've had to put into Power Word Gold is much higher than I had expected when I first started. But that's not bad. What I don't want to get into is only caring about blogging and kind of like getting off the main topic. I don't want my blog about gold making to end up having tons of posts about blogging about gold making. It just seems quite circular. And one of the things I noticed when I first getting ready to blog was that a lot of the popular blogs at the time were talking about blogging. I want to keep Power Word Gold about gold making. If you want to read about how to blog, there's lots of great resources out there. I have to always look into how to improve my blog, but I don't want Power Word Gold to turn into a blog about how to make blogs. All right, so that's it for that topic. So in the previous week, I had recommended that people start selling obsidian skeleton keys. So far, I've had some success with this. I've probably sold about 30 or 40 keys at, 29 gold a pop. Not that many. I probably sold 20 keys at that price. Other people have commented on it that they've also been able to sell them. The thing I ended up writing about this last week, on Saturday and Sunday, I've noticed that the blogosphere and the Twitterosphere and the WoWsphere, everybody just kind of stops. When I used to read a lot of WoW Insider, I would always notice that Saturday and Sunday tended to be pretty slow days. I think everybody takes off the weekend, which is fine, but on the weekend I still ended up wanting to make a few small posts. Saturday's post is one I'd been thinking about for a while, and I actually got the opportunity to implement, which was, if I'm selling these obsidian skeleton keys for 30 gold a pop, how much gold is actually in a elemental lockbox, and is it really justified in spending the gold? Beyond the convenience factor, I still think everybody should have like 5 stack of these keys on them at all times, so that whenever a elementium lockbox drops, they can just pop it open at that time. But it's 30 gold. I mean, if they buy it off the auction house, the mats for it are 8 gold. So we had about 12 lockboxes in our guild bank, and I ended up opening them up. It was really funny because I opened a few with some keys that one of the other guild members had given. I ended up finding a rogue, and I had probably 7 left to go, and he opened them all up for me, and I actually tipped him like 5 gold for each lockbox. And then I started opening them, and then I found more lockboxes. I was like, what the heck? Oh, well, I guess I didn't drag and drop this to the rogue. I forgot. And I unlocked it with the key, and then I ended up finding another one that was locked. I was like, what the heck? And it turns out that you can get elementium lockboxes that'll drop out of other elementium lockboxes. I ended up with 16 gold values and only 12 items out of 12 lockboxes. So I ended up getting like 4 extra lockboxes. Long story short, each lockbox, at least according to the auction house values for the green items, was about 95 gold a pop. So at 95 gold for a lockbox, I think that 29 gold a piece for the keys isn't really overkill. I mean, it's all about convenience. How long do we want to sit and trade chat or find a blacksmith that can open it for us or something? The last post I did this week was actually the one that I put up yesterday, which was about middle cutting. I'm going to just go into this a little bit more, and I wasn't really able to get the tone across what I really was talking about here. So middle cutting, or as I think I've read other places, heavy undercutting, is basically if somebody's selling a glyph for 220 and there's only 220, I'll put my glyph up for 77 gold. The hope being that they'll see this and either buy it out or they'll undercut that 77 gold and they'll lose money. This is a strategy that I implemented because I really couldn't find a good angle to get back into the glyph market. I couldn't find an angle that wouldn't require me to really, really, really camp the auction house. Beyond finding a way to undercut them heavily, I couldn't figure it out. So I wanted to get them mad. Now, in hindsight, I can see that this probably isn't the best strategy. Anytime I've quote-unquote wanted to get someone mad, it's really just backfired on me. One time I had a college professor who I really didn't like, and I figured right at the end of school I was going to get him mad. And the way I was going to get him mad and show him that I didn't really appreciate the way he had been teaching or whatever was to just not show up for the final. And I didn't show up for the final, and I got my grades. And I ended up getting a D. And this kind of always stuck with me. Like, whenever I try to get someone else mad, ultimately all I'm doing is hurting myself. Because usually the other person has no idea. And looking back at that post, I can see in my own head, as I'm undercutting these auctions for, you know, massive amounts of gold, in my own head, I'm getting back at them. It's a little bit of catharsis for what I consider to be the anger at them having more time than me to be able to continue to undercut these. But I mean, they're just doing their thing. They're just making gold the best they can. If I was really honest about it, I probably could keep up with them as far as selling glyphs. So whether I'm invalidating that blog post, I mean, I think it is still a viable strategy to hit and run with some pretty deep undercuts and glyphs. I'm going to have to post more auctions. Like Alto gave a really good comment on that post about it. I felt a little bit better. But I don't think I'm probably hurting their feelings. Maybe I can fine-tune it and actually try to make some gold off of it. But we all know, like, anything over mat price for glyphs is profit. It's just how much profit do you want? How much are you willing to control the prices? How much are you willing to bet that that person's not going to undercut you? Because I guarantee you that probably 80% of your sales for glyphs happen within an hour after you post. If you have heavy competition, all your competitors are going to be canceling and relisting glyphs, and they're going to be the cheapest, and theirs are going to sell, not yours. I've actually had a lot more fun camping the gem market than I have with the glyph market, but that's a much smaller market. You have six items that you're basically working with the uncommon cataclysm gems. It's much easier to be able to maintain something like that. Glyphs are just so intimidating and overwhelming, so maybe I'll have to clear out the bags of my inscriptionist and try to make another big push into that. So that's blog posts for this week. I really appreciate all the people that have been commenting on the posts. I know I need to be better about commenting on other bloggers' posts, because I know everybody loves having insightful and thoughtful comments. I appreciate that. Keep it up. I just wanted to put out a small plug for Reddit, for our community that we are building over on Reddit for WoW gold making. If you're not familiar with Reddit, it's a social news site similar to what Slashdot is or what Dig is. People are able to post up news articles or links or images or even just text, and people in the community will comment on it. There's a link on my sidebar that has a little alien and it says join us on Reddit. So click that link, and if you don't have a Reddit account, please get one, because I guarantee you won't be disappointed. The address is Reddit, reddit.com/r/wowgoldmaking. Again, that's reddit.com/r/wowgoldmaking. Once you have your account and you go to it's called a subreddit. It's basically a specialized section of Reddit for a specific topic. There is one for World of Warcraft, reddit.com/r/wow, which is pretty popular. This one is more specific to WoW gold making. Right now we're sitting at 184 readers. I'd like to have more. I really want to encourage all gold bloggers out there to put up all of your posts as submissions to WoW gold making. I'm the moderator of the subreddit. I submit some at some points, but it would be awesome to have you submit them as well. You'll be able to get your posts out there to a little bit wider audience, and the back and forth of the comments is really one of the main draws and one of the main reasons to be on Reddit, because the community is really smart and has some really good comments. not necessarily a substitute for comments on the blogs, but it is a really good way to get some traffic being driven back to your site. Every once in a while, I'll also post up a link on reddit.com/r/wow. That tends to get quite a bit more traffic coming to my site, but I don't necessarily think everybody in that subreddit is excited about gold making, since it's more about general World of Warcraft. I know people that read the WoW gold making subreddit are focused in on that one specific thing, and I tend to get some pretty good comments there. Right now it has quite a few of my own posts, but I want to get more of the gold community in there. So everybody go out there, make an account, and join the subreddit. Again, you can find that on my sidebar on Powered Gold. It's a light blue button that says join us on Reddit. And WoW in general, really what I've been focusing on is wrapping up a few faction reputation grinds with my hunter. I posted a while back about how the Ashes of Alar dropped, and I was lucky enough to pick it up from the guy that got it for 38,000. Ever since then, I've kind of been on this kick for collecting mounts. It's been actually quite fun. It's been a nice distraction. I don't really raid. That doesn't really interest me. Making gold is one of my main focuses in the game, but lately it's also been finding mounts. So this last week I finished up my Netherwing dailies. I was able to start working on my Talbucks for Hala. I got the Winter Saber a couple weeks ago, and one of the things I did for that Winter Saber was mainly I just killed chimeras and bears, but what I didn't realize at the time was that the 5 necklaces that you get for the one repeatable quest where you go and you kill the firbolgs, for 5 of those beads gives you 2,200 or so rep with Timbermaw. I was at Revered, and actually turning those in, I had about 95 beads to turn in. I ended up getting me all the way to Overexalted from Revered. So if you end up doing the Winter Saber quest, don't skip the Winterfall Intrusions. Just do it every time, because those beads are going to also get you reputation with the Timbermaw. Also, I have been wrapping up the 2 Hala PvP mounts. I've been killing the ogres in the cave in Southwind Clift, and if you need Netherweave cloth, farm this spot, because guys respawn like yay quick. Right now I'm sitting at almost 8 stacks of Netherweave cloth, and they drop obsidian war beads as well as the Oshu Goon crystal powder sample, which is what I need to get research tokens for Hala. The beads can be turned in for Kirinai rep, or I'm guessing if you're a horde, you turn it in for Garadar rep to get the main Talbucks. I had already gotten those. So if you already have the main Talbucks, use these obsidian war beads, and those can be turned in for Consortium rep at a certain point along. So I turned in about 5 of those and got exalted with Consortium, because I was almost exalted with Consortium. The other thing I noticed when I was over turning in the Consortium rep is that there's still like a bag of gems you can get from the Consortium vendor there every month, and I had just completely forgot about that bag of gems. So if you have any decent level of rep with Consortium, and at least once a month, go over and get your bag of gems, because you might get something like a Golden Draenite that's worth like 36 gold. I mean, it's worth the trip out there just to get it. I've been spending a lot of time in Burning Crusade because I've been doing the Netherwing and the Sala quest, and I had forgotten how much I love the Burning Crusade in Outland. We had the White Hawk Strider drop in Heroic Magister's Terrace. My wife and I were farming it. She was kind enough to give it to me, which is awesome, and I ended up paying her 1,000 gold for every point under her roll that I was. We kind of settled on that. I rolled a 94, and she rolled a 98. Now, before everybody starts saying, oh, you stole it from your wife, you're so mean, she, like, gave it to me, and she's like, I don't want it back. I want a Mechanic Chopper for it. I was like, okay. And she's like, no. I'm like, okay. So I happen to be blessed with a wife who plays World of Warcraft. We really enjoy playing World of Warcraft together when we can. Pretty much the main thing I've been doing in-game has been kind of split between gold making, working on mounts on my hunter and working on with my goblin for Project Goblin. As far as gold making in general in game, my Obsidian Shuffle did really well this weekend. The prices were actually able to remain somewhat high, with most gems going for over 12 gold apiece. After having Elemental Goo for like 3 days in a row, the daily quest was Night's Eye for like 3 days in a row, which is really awesome, because by the third day, probably by the second day, all the supplies of Night's Eyes had kind of dried up. And so the price was able to actually keep going up. And on Sunday, I sold a bunch of them for 30 gold a pop. I ended up with quite a few extra of the other ones because I had to shuffle ore since I don't really stockpile a ton. So that was nice. So the shuffle is working and still working consistently. What else? Valor Boots. I tweeted about this a little bit, but I was able to pick up Valor Boots for 5K. Off of people barking them in trade chat, and flip those around. I picked up the Valor Boots for classes that I think I could use them on mainly, which was my Hunter and my Shaman. So I picked up 2 Agility Male Boots from 2 different people for 5K, thinking, well, if I'm not able to sell these, I'll just end up using them on my Hunter and on my Shaman. I ended up putting them up on the auction house, and they sold for 8.5K, which is, you know, three grand profit. But the thing I noticed afterwards, which I hadn't really thought about before, which I probably should have, is that there's boots from a reputation from Guardians of Hyjal called the Treads of Malorn that are 359 epic quality boots that you get for basically getting exalted with Hyjal. So if I was to do it over again, I probably wouldn't buy the same boots as what you can get from reputation. I have another pair that may sell. We'll see. It's just a nice little side project, or a nice little side thing I decided to try, and so far I haven't got burned on it. I feel like I'll at least get my money back. It's not like the enchanting scrolls I did at one point with Maelstrom Crystals. The other thing I've really been focusing on is vendor recipes. There's been a couple people that have commented on the blog, and I just wanted to second and third this, that there's an add-on called Recipe Profit for Gathermate, and it shows on your map locations of vendors that sell recipes. And I've been able to, I talked about it a little bit earlier about buying cooking recipes in Stormwind, but even Booty Bay and Outlands, I've been consistently selling almost every single recipe that I pick up from a vendor for at least 20 gold apiece. Those have been fun. It's a nice little side project to do. It's not anything new. I know Fades has done quite a few posts about it, but I've been enjoying it. Okay, I'm going to be doing this last segment, which is going to just kind of go over the pyrite ore. I'm not an expert on this. There's other bloggers that have done posts on pyrite ore, and I just wanted to kind of give my own impression of it. Pyrite ore, I have been holding off on really getting into very heavily just because I'm pretty averse to stockpiling, but I know there's other bloggers out there. If you listen to Just My Two Coppers meeting this week, they're going pretty big into it. Without reading patch notes, I don't know where they'll necessarily come from, but I actually have been pretty much talked into stockpiling some. I have things in my bank that are really not worth anything, and I probably should be replacing those with things that might actually be worth something. So I have like about 5 or 6 stacks I picked up so far. So I'm actually going to join in on the stockpiling end of pyrite ore. I don't think I'll probably be into it as huge as some other people. This is the opposite side of not having bots on your server. The ore that's farmed up on my server is farmed by human beings and is therefore at a somewhat decent price. Decent meaning not cheap. Maybe I'll try to get one bank tab full of pyrite ore by the time the patch hits. How about that? Does that sound good? One bank tab, and we'll see how that goes. I just don't want to miss out on the chance. All right, well, I think that about wraps it up for this podcast. I've killed enough Boulder Fist mages and Boulder Fist warriors to choke a towel buck. I just wanted to really express my appreciation for everybody that reads Power Word Gold, that comments on Power Word Gold, that follows me on Twitter and is part of our Facebook page. We have a great gold making community. I've said this before and I'll say it again. We have awesome people that are all working together to spread ideas, information, and help people make gold in World of Warcraft. I just wanted to give a few shout outs. Shout out to Fades for all of her awesome videos. You can find her blog at Nerf Fades. nerffaids.blogspot.com. I wanted to give a shout out to the Gold Queen. She's been really supportive in my blogging and she's helped me improve. When she did a review of my site, she really went into a lot of detail and said what she liked about it and what she didn't like about it. And she was actually the main reason I kept working on the design of my blog. The look of a blog to me is really important. Being a graphic designer and an artist, it's really important that what I do looks fairly good. And if you've paid attention, which you probably haven't, to the layout of Power Word Gold, it's definitely gone through its refinements. And it'll, you know, keep getting refined until it's just the way I like it. And even then, it probably will never be finished. So thanks to the Gold Queen. If you type in thegoldqueen.com, it'll redirect you to goldcastles.com, which she has temporarily set up, I think. Go give her a check.
Go give her a check for the amount of 300 doll hairs.
No. Go check it out. And sign up for her forums. She's got new forums set up, and I recommend you check those out. I signed up recently, and I'm excited to see how those turn out. Shout out to Mage Shadow from Just My Two Copper for putting out the weekly Just My Two Copper meeting. It was a lot of fun. You can check that out at justmy2copper.org. I want to especially give a shout out to Bangkok Bill. He's my boy. I've really enjoyed all of his comments, retweets. He's in our Reddit community and he's been my biggest supporter pretty much from the beginning. So, hey, maybe we can get you on the next podcast, Bill. I'm going to have to shoot you an email or something. I know you were in the Just My Two Copper meeting. Give a shout out to Cold from Cold's Gold Factory. I was excited to finally hear this last episode of Auction House Junkies. You had posted a tweet about it like a week before it finally came out, so you kind of left us all hanging there. So I had been waiting for that to come out, and it was good to hear Zoxy. I don't know. I love British accents. That's just me. I watch Total Biscuit. I don't know what it is about Americans and British accents, but they're pretty cool. I think there's some like authority. They seem so full of authority when they have a British accent. So again, thanks to everybody that commented on the podcast from last week. And you're still stuck with me for now, being alone until I can wrangle up some guests. I'm working on it. It would be nice to have somebody else to bounce ideas off of. Okay, well, I'm going to be signing off. Have a good week making gold. I'll see you next Tuesday.